just all stand up together? We're going to pray. The Bible says when you stand praying, so I believe you should stand praying. Lift your hands up and just go ahead and thank God this morning. Father, we want to thank you this morning. Oh, we lift up our hearts to you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. Oh, we lift up our voices to you unashamedly, saying thank you, Lord. We praise you. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for the salvation that we have. We thank you what's in it. We thank you all the blessings of God that are in our salvation. We have spiritual blessings and natural blessings. Thank you, Father, for this family of God, this family of faith. And Father, we pray for every person that's watching online, our Spirit Alive partners across Canada and locally. We ask you to bless them with wisdom and direction this morning and give them peace of mind wherever they are. We pray for all our Faith City Church family, wherever they are this morning, in the name of Jesus. We ask for a special blessing upon Robbie and his gang and Teen Challenge, wherever they are, ministering this morning. We ask your blessing upon those young men and women and their ministering. Father, we thank you for just the opportunities we have today to spread the gospel. Thank you for the play that's coming up. That's going to be a wonderful time. There's going to be a great blessing to it. We thank you, Lord. Oh, we praise you. Thank you that we can come in your presence boldly. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, be seated. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm trying to cheer you up. Doing my best. Praise God. Well, turn in your Bibles with me this morning. We're going to talk about the subject of fear and anxiety. We entitled our message this morning, "The Point of Entry in Fear." So, you know, fear has to have an entry point in your life. And I would like to go to, let's go over to the 34th chapter of the book of Psalms. And I'm going to use also my paper Bible. I do have Bibles on my stuff here. So Psalm 34, and we're actually looking at verse 4, but in conjunction with our message, we'll read the whole four verses. And then we're going to go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 27. And we're going to talk about how to deal with fear. Praise God. Amen? Anybody ever had fears? I've had lots of fears. I had good worries too. And very, very good worries. I could just take one and take a good fit right now and just really have a good time worrying. So Psalm 34, I'm reading the King James for now, and we're going to put it in other versions as well. The Bible says, "I'll bless the Lord at all times." Just in that verse alone, we can just, it's not even a full verse, we could start preaching on that right away. Yeah. Amen? Amen. How often should we bless the Lord? Always. You know, the word bless, it means, just to go ahead and think about all the wonderful things and say good things about God. Amen. Has God ever done anything for you? Yeah. Did he do one thing for you? Yeah. Did he do two things? Oh, well, we could just say, thank God, amen? That's why I said, oh, thank God, I'm thinking that in my mind. Thank you, Jesus, I'm thinking about all those things in my mind, see? Can you lift up both hands and say, thank you, Lord? Say, bless God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, that's what you do. That's what you do. Whenever you have any kind of attack on you, just go ahead and start praising God, amen? So it says in here, I'll bless the Lord once in a while, no, all the time. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Glory to God. That's why we say praise God. Amen. I remember when I first started watching Christian television, I turned on the TV. There was a blonde-headed woman preaching. I never saw a blonde-headed woman preaching so hard, so strong. My whole life was Gloria Copeland. That was probably in the early 1980s. And she's preaching the gospel. I said, wow, this woman is beautiful, and she can preach. Oh, hallelujah. And just because she's blonde, we start watching it. Amen. And then I heard some really good stuff there. And I heard she's married to a First Nations man, American kind of First Nations man. Okay. He says here, my soul, what's your soul? Your soul is your mind. Your soul is your emotions. How many people know you can talk to your emotions? You can talk to your mind. Huh? You see, you know, we're going to talk about how to deal with the worried mind. That's our title today, how to deal with the worried mind. So he says, my soul shall continue or make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. In other words, when you start praising God and saying good things about how what God did and giving testimony, anybody around you is going to get picked up. Amen? And how many understand this psalm? At the time of this psalm, this man was suffering greatly. This was a very not the best time for him. Are you listening to this? Yep. In Psalm 34 was a time when he's having a hard time when Saul was after him to kill him and to destroy him. And so he's saying these kind of words. He says, continually bless God, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and saying that, and then those he said in here, look at verse, magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. But in that verse 2, he says that the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. He says in here, I believe it's the in the other version, it says that those that are downcast and low and brought down and discouraged will hear you praising God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And so those that are humble, he's talking about those people that are brought so low, they're so discouraged in their mind that they come and they see you praising God and talking about how wonderful God is, and they're going to be brought up.
Amen.
Amen? So they don't need another bad CNN news coming from you. They need to hear what God's doing in your life.
Amen?
Amen? And so it says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Glory to God. God, he's the fear solver. If you got a problem today, that the Lord, he said he'll solve it for you. So our text, verse of scripture, says in there that, let's go look at that again. He said that he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. So, we're according to the scripture that God's already, whatever you're scared of, he's already made provision to deal with it. Glory to God. Whatever, if it's fear of lack, fear of lack of employment, fear of lack of money, fear of sickness and disease, fear of cancer, fear of going crazy, everything, you know, everything that you can think of, God's already provided a way for you to be blessed. Thank God. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. Anybody feeling challenged today, last week, last night, this morning? Praise God. Well, the Lord says he's got an answer for us.
Amen.
Now, go to John chapter 14, verse 27. I'm going to go here at this version as well. John chapter 14 and verse 27. Hallelujah. You know, it's a little quiet in here this morning. It may be because it's dark outside. I don't know. It does make you feel, you know, when it's and the sun is not out, people feel different. I don't know. It affects me, but I don't let it. I can feel it happening, but I don't allow it to, affect what I do. So it does have an effect on our soul, for sure, physical, natural. So John chapter 14, 27, King James Version said, peace I leave with you. Well, that's what we need. We need peace. And when we have troubled times, we got all kinds of things to worry about. We got fears. He said, peace I leave with you. So before Jesus left, he left us something valuable. And it's peace.
Hallelujah.
And it's right inside you right now. And you can dig inside you. The Bible says, in Psalm 23, he says, he provides in the presence His table is there. In the presence of the enemies, he'll provide whatever you need in this life. And the Psalm 23rd Psalm. So thank God that he'll provide peace for you too. He said, my peace I give to you, not as the world give it. In other words, you can't find this kind of peace in a bottle, in a tablet, in a counseling office. You can't find peace in drinking or entertainment or having sexual affairs and excursions and pornography and whatever it is. You can't find that kind of peace. And people are trying to find peace in everything else but God. And they're in trouble. Trouble with their wives, husbands, because they're spending too much money on liquor or whatever. But he says in here, he said, the world doesn't give this, but I give it. Thank God that he gives peace. Peace in troubled times. Glory to God. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Everybody says, some people say, I got a troubled mind, having trouble. Well, let it not be troubled. Well, you don't know what troubles I have. Well, let not your heart be troubled. What is it that you don't understand about what Jesus said? Well, I've got this cancer here. Let not your heart be troubled. Well, I've got this son out there. He's spending all the money and having a bad time. Well, let not your heart be troubled. Is that hard? We can do it. Everybody say, we can do it. No, I didn't say it's going to be easy, but we can do it. God says, he said, I'm going to give you this peace. Either you believe that or don't believe it. And if you believe God, Pastor Ken said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. He said that this morning. That's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord. The word trust means to rely on, put confidence in, and have faith in. That's what the word trust means. And we trust in God. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own. Sometimes the word heart is actually mind in the Bible. If you can see by context, just read it, you understand. See, let me just say this. Fears must have an entry point in your life. And that entry point will come basically from a number of areas, generally speaking. It'll come, it could be an experience that you have, but it could also come through, when you let the fear in, it'll come through your mind. Because so what's in your mind long enough will begin imprinted in your spirit. And it'll take possession of you for all your life, or most of your life. It comes through your mind, and it drops in your spirit. That's why God says to protect what you think about, because it'll attach itself to your mind. That's why the Bible says that the enemy will attack your mind with worrisome thoughts, fearsome thoughts, and you begin to meditate on that. Then you begin to say those things. You rehearse that over and over, 1,000 times a day. What's going to happen? How bad it's going to be? And all of a sudden, that's going to be imprinted in your spirit. And so it takes possession of you. Then you become obsessive with the thought. You become obsessive. Also, fears come through what you hear. Not what you think about. Fears come by what you hear, what you listen to. You need to be, Jesus said, be careful. Jesus said, what you hear. That's what Jesus said. So we have to be careful what we hear and begin to think, hear on those things that, just shut those things out. Hear what we have to hear, and that's we have to hear what God says about different things. When I hear bad things, I talk to myself in meditation. Meditation is just basically, you don't have to close your mind or sit in the cross position. You just have to think about what God says. Meditation is beginning to, Bible meditation is this way. You find a scripture. You look at that scripture, you read that scripture, and you talk to that scripture to yourself. You say what that scripture, read it and talk to it. Say, this is what belongs to me. You mutter this to yourself. That's what Joshua 1:8 says, mutter the scripture, like meditate on this day and night. We should be meditating on the word. And so the entry point in our lives, you know, the word mutter means to chew on something and to have it over like a cow would chew, you know, it's cut and you go back and forth and you chew on that over and over. And basically, most people are doing it already, but they're doing it in the negative. And they're rehearsing negative things over and over and over in their mind. And so that gets lodged in them, in their hearts. So, he says in here, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So I want to look at this over here. In the 20, this is the Amplified version, 27. Peace I leave with you, Amplified says, peace I leave with you. My own peace now I give you and bequeath you to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. So apparently we can help from having this problem. Neither let them be afraid. This is Amplified. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and upset. So this is from the Lord. This is Amplified version. So fears must have an entry point into our lives. In everyone's lives, fear has a point of reference or a source as well. So how did it get in you? Where did it come from? But who or what is the source? So, you know, I mean, maybe you're watching something, listening to something that's affecting your mind. You know, people like to be afraid. They even pay a ticket and let themselves get a good scare about murders and mysteries and whatever it is. And are we to be defenseless the rest of our lives concerning fears? God's word seems to have an answer. Just reading these two verses, we can just go home right now and say, praise God, I found two verses of scripture that deals with this. What is fear anyway, people say? What is fear? People have asked this for many years, what fear is. If you just look in any dictionary, you're going to find something like this. That fear is a painful sense of, a negative emotion. It's a sense of impending danger affecting the mind and the body. You know, what you put in your mind affects your body. Your body begins to sweat and shake and your heart starts racing, and then you feel weak and dizzy and all that stuff. So it does affect you. Scientists, I know when we were studying this in school, my wife and I studied, you know, at the college, and we help people how to deal with these kind of things from an academic standpoint. And then science shows us that whatever you physically watch with your eyes on television, scientists can tell whether that your body can't tell the difference if it's real or not. Your body naturally reacts to it because that's the way we're made. And so you can plug somebody in with different things and you can tell, show them the bad news and hear these things, and all of a sudden your body is racing, your heart's pounding and perspiring and yet, it's not happening. You can see a bear coming at you on television. All of a sudden, you're going to try to run away. In your mind, you're trying to escape. That's what they call the fight or flight reaction that we all have. There's only two kinds of fears that are built into our system, according to science, and that is the fear of falling. A sensation that you're falling, you grab yourself. I don't know, when I'm riding in the plane, when the plane goes like this, and you go, you know, this kind of natural reaction. And they say babies are born with a fear of loud noises. Your physical senses are kind of, get jarred. And so you have to tell yourself when you're watching something that this is not real. I remember I got so upset one time in a television that it affected me. I remember being in college studying when I was doing social work. And we watched different things, and all of a sudden it would trigger me so many times. I'd have so many triggers. I didn't understand about PTSD. Is that what you call it? I had it. I had it because as a little child, I had fears, and I suffered terrible fears. I'd wake up with sweats and shaking, and I would have anxiety attacks where I would almost pass out. And I didn't know what was wrong with me. I thought I was the only one that had it. I heard people saying they had it, but I never really discussed it with anybody. I had it for many years. Until, glory to God, I got born again. I got saved, and I was driving down the road. When my friend asked me to come for a drive, I would be afraid because I was afraid I might take a panic attack while driving down the road somewhere. I would be afraid to get on the city bus because between the stops, I would be afraid that I might take an anxiety attack. I don't know what I was afraid of, but I was terrified. And so the Greek word fear is the word terror. Phobia is that word, and people have all kinds of fears. And no fear is good. We shouldn't be afraid of anything. The Bible says that He's delivered me from all my fears. Everybody say, He's delivered me from all my fears. See, you have to say that over and over. You have to decide, make up your mind today that I will not fear. I get up every day and say, today I will not fear. No fear here. Psalm 91. And I put that on spiritually, on my spiritual jacket. No fear here. Everyone say, no fear here. That's what we have to say. People are afraid. They're afraid their husband's going to leave them. When they get home, their wife's going to be gone. Well, let her go. If she wants to go, let her go. Glory to God. Because you know what? You can't keep somebody there if they want to go. They're going to have to go. Why live in such turmoil with somebody who wants to leave you all the time? You know? You can be replaced. You can be replaced. I understand that. You know? I mean, people are afraid of stuff all the time. You know? What if she leaves? You know? That's not the last woman in the world. We have one sitting right here, ready to go. Right, John? We have all kinds of them around here. Bill back there waiting, praise God. But you see, we're afraid of stuff that, my next point here, real or imagined. That was another point I'm making, real or imagined. Whether these things in your mind is going to happen or whether it's realistic, or whether, these are actually going to happen and may happen, you're still experiencing fear. No matter what it is, real or imagined, you're going to react to it, your body's going to react to it, but we have to deal with it. And you have to know that God has an answer for it. That's why it says, trust in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord is trusting in the Word. You can't trust God without knowing this. You can't trust God beyond this. If you don't know this, what it says, you cannot trust God. It's impossible to trust God without knowing what's in here. You know, when the Bible talks about, I was so blessed to hear this, that my wife's teaching covenant, blood covenant in the Bible school. When you do a blood covenant, and this has been for as far as man can it has been here on in this world, there's always been a blood covenant. When you cut a blood covenant with somebody, you become one. And whatever belongs to that person belongs to you. And so forth. So you become one. So my property becomes your property, and your enemies become my enemies. I was reading in, I believe it's Isaiah 25:49, one of those scriptures. He says in there that God says, you know what? Your enemies are my enemies. I'll fight for you. And somebody attacks you, I'm going to be right there for you. We have to see that. You know, it's a covenant. When God cut the covenant with man, he cut it with Jesus. He had to cut it with Jesus. He put Jesus there as a man, and God himself cut the covenant with Jesus. He took his blood, and he took his blood and took it to heaven. And that's you could never break that covenant. And whatever belongs to Jesus, whatever he got, was awarded to us. And that hasn't dawned on people's mind. And the Bible says, before you pray, I'll answer. God already knows what's going on. There's nothing in your life that surprises God. And we've got some real scary things to deal with. But God, we got a real big, scary God when it comes to against those problems. Glory to God. I thank God that you're here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. I thank God this morning that I didn't have to wake up and detox this morning. I'm serious. I thank God. That's where I used to be. I used to live around here. You know that Salvation Army was my hotel. Was my home for a while. I went to school from there. Went to college and I had nowhere to go. I had no mother. I had no dad here. I didn't have anybody pay me taxi or give me food money or rent money. I think about people today. They got programs. They got all kinds of native programs. In my people I know, and they're still not making it. Blaming people, blaming their mothers, blaming the Indian affairs, blaming everybody else except themselves. Get out of bed. Go to work. Go to school. I went to school, to college, and I couldn't read. I would read something, I couldn't keep it in my mind for 5 minutes. I would forget everything I read. I would sit in the room all night long trying to write a one paper, two-page paper. I'd be there all night, 2-3 days at a time. Because my mind wouldn't work right. And I was so mixed up as a kid. I was mad at the world, scared of everybody, scared of everything. You're looking at somebody who's been delivered from the devil. It's a miracle that God saved me. I've seen things as a kid that no child should ever seen. I was afraid of violent things. When I saw violence, I remember as an 8-year-old boy, we were running around all night long. We had no supervision. And we were coming back. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. My cousins and I had cousins who lived in what they call the Point. It was the old reservation before the town of Long Lac. And we'd go pick up my friends. My friends were my mother's sister, who is actually a Spence. They're actually from way up north, Hudson Bay area, way up there. They were Cree Indians. And my mother was married off to a First Nations man from this area, Robinson Superior, and she was traded for 7 blankets. No, they just made an arrangement to marry. I guess the blanket was just kind of extra. My mother was married by They were married. So my mother married a fisher. We're called Shabagijiks. That the name is translated by through the sky. When the rays come through the sky, that's my name. Ray, a little sun coming through the sky, the dark clouds, that's me. It's my name. I'm a little sunshine for you today. Amen? Come on, give me a clap, guys. Amen? See, I asked Simone claps. So, anyway, my mother's sister married an Abraham. And we would pick up the Abraham kids. They were my cousins. So we'd go and raid the gardens in Longlock. If you're watching, sorry about that. And bikes and stuff. We had no supervision. Our parents were drinking constantly. And I was coming down. We're going to go home now. 3 o'clock in the morning, coming over the bridge. Ed knows, on some of you guys know Longlock. I'm coming over the bridge. We're walking as kids. We saw way down there lights. We wonder what's going on. I'm 8 years old. We're all excited about it. See cop cars and ambulance and everything. Walk over there. And I'll never forget it. I saw my mom on the side of the road moaning, you know, almost dead. That stayed with me forever. And I never saw her for 2 years, and I went into the school here as a young boy, and I went into school there, and no one came to visit me. My dad came a couple of times. Hawkins came to visit me one time, but he was drunk. You know, he just got out of jail. But I had people who come to visit me drunk as a kid, just a little boy, and I would cry and wonder, who is everybody? Anybody know I'm here? When am I going to go home? Who knows I'm here? Is anybody going to pick me up? And I'm in that place. And it stays with you. These things stay with you all your life. And then people wonder why Roma went and shot someone. Huh? Why is he such a bad kid? Why does he do all that stuff? And I would see my parents sleeping with other people in the bed that I'm sleeping in. And they wonder why was Roman so crazy, you know, in his life. And I couldn't trust a woman to see my mom with different men. I couldn't trust, I see my dad doing the same thing, and I couldn't, you know, you wonder why, what happened to Roma? Why is he so crazy? Why was I so full of fear? Saw the rapes, my mom getting raped, and my you know, different things like that in my life. I know what it's like to have fears, real ones. And the things I would be worried about and fearful about is running out of food. Didn't know where my next food is going to come. And you know, it's a wonder today why God called me to the ministry. He knew I'm not going to quit. I've seen lows. I couldn't go any lower than I did. And all I wanted to do was be at peace with my life. And that seems to me the only peace I had was when I went to jail. Now I can eat. I got a place to stay. I won't be freezing tonight. But those are real hard times. And so... That's why today I'm so committed to what I'm doing. This place should be packed with people that need this message. And there's people out there like that right now. You know? And we can avoid going down that road. People say, you know, Roma, you still doing that? Yeah, I'm still doing this. I mean, we forfeited our own careers. Left our careers and could have made a career out of our own selves. And my wife and I, we had both potentially great jobs and having our own career and having our cabin and having our vacations and doing all that. But we build our life doing what we're doing right here.
Hallelujah.
And we're stuck with it. We can't go away. There's no way. I can't just quit the ministry. I can't just say, well, I'm going to retire. I can't do that. There's no way I could do that. God called me. It's not a career. You know, when I go through hard times today, I say, God, you took me out of this before. You can do it again.
Amen.
Amen? He's going to do it again. I was thinking about, you know, brother, you know, when the doctor told you got cancer, come on back in for another checkup, biopsy, and you go back again, and they check something dark in your body, and go back, and you got cancer. Sorry. Mr. Rich, we're sorry that this is the end for you. And he cries out to God. God heals him, goes back to the doctor. There's no more cancer. It's all gone. We don't know what happened. Well, we know what happened. We know what happened. God healed that man. And guess what? And he doesn't even read. What's wrong with you? You can read the Bible. He has a hard time reading. He can't hardly read. My dad, 83 years old, just before he left for heaven, he never read a book in his life. I said, if my dad lived 83 years old, almost a few days off, I could live at least 100. He never read a book in his life. And he lived. And thank God. I get blessed when I hear these stories about people getting blessed like that in their ministry or whatever. Robbie, I was so blessed with Robbie yesterday. You know, a company said to Rob, "Whatever you collect here tonight in this fundraiser, we'll double up on it, up to $50,000." And I think they collected on the tables $25,000. I need a good sponsor. For our television program, you know. I thank God, you know, people believe in what we're doing. And they're helping. So we need more business people to help us to do what we're doing. We want to build a campus out here. We want to build a center for women. Suffering, who suffer, drug addiction and abuse. And we're going to have counselors out there, trained people that can help these people. And Audrey's going to help us do this. And we got people in here. Leafy can help us find some money, Leafy. We need that to help these women and so forth. There's lots of stuff for men everywhere. Real or imagined. Make your stand. Psalm 23:4 says, he says, I will not fear no evil. I will not fear no evil. That's what Psalm 23 says, because Jesus is your shepherd. He is your shepherd. The Complete English Bible says that even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no danger because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they protect me. Psalm 23, verse 4. God says, I'm going to protect you. I'm covenant partner with you. I'm going to protect you. Your enemies is going to be my enemies. Our textual scriptures we read tell us that we have to make our mind up. We have to make a stand against fear. Both Psalm 34 and John 4:27 specifically reveal that we have to stand against fear. Fear is not from God. We are not to accept it into our lives. We are to resist it in any form or fashion because it comes from the devil. Fear gets its power from unbelief. In Genesis chapter, somewhere in chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, I'm not going to read it all. We know the story about the serpent. The wisest animal on the world, the Bible says, came to Adam and Eve, In fact, he came to Eve first and told Eve, God didn't really say you shouldn't eat of that tree. He's very subtle. He'll come very intellectually. The devil will come to you very, like an intelligent person to you. It's just off course, but not in the Word of God. He'll come sound so wonderful. His words will come so wonderful, very deceptive. Say, you know what? Hey, you know what? Listen, you got a lot of fears there. You know, listen, maybe you should take a little drink. That happened to me not too long ago. Of almost 40 years, almost 40 years and I have a drink, the devil says to me, listen, you've had a hard struggle. Just go ahead and have one. It's a long time now. Just go ahead, just one little, you know, just have a couple of, just go get a six-pack. Nobody will ever know. Just go ahead and drink one or two of those, slip them back, relax, watch the hockey game. It's late. I said, yeah, sounds good. Where's Nars? So, you know, it comes to you, right? It's just very subtle. That's why the devil came to Eve and said, listen, did God really say don't eat that tree? Eve said, well, yes, God said don't eat that from that tree because, you know, so forth. He said, or we'll know between good and evil and we'll die. The devil said, no, you're not going to die. In fact, you become like God. You'll know both good and evil. You'll know all those information. How many people know it's better to you for you not to have some information, you know, than you, you know, Solomon says, you know, to have all this wisdom is almost a curse to know everything, to know a lot. And so, the Bible says they partook and all of a sudden they became ashamed. Shame. And then guilt came. Guilt came in their lives. They felt condemned. And they ran and hid. And God says, hey kids, where are you? Oh, we're hiding. We heard you coming. We're hiding. We're afraid. And God says, why are you afraid? We see disobedience and unbelief. They didn't believe God. See, unbelief is knowing what God says, but not doing it. Unbelief is reading the Bible and not practicing. That's unbelief. You know? So two ways you get unbelief. One is you heard something, but you don't accept it. You don't receive it. Unbelief is not even ever heard anything. How can you believe if you don't have anything? So they partook and God, you know, they had guilt and shame and condemnation when you suffer that fear is coming after. What about this? What about that? That's how it comes in your life. People are afraid when they miss the mark. People are afraid when they break laws. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 13 that we should be subject to whatever authorities that our society has. And we should obey the laws of our land or a city. And if we do, you better be afraid of the police officer. Because he's going to come and stop you. How many people know if you don't say no, if you don't listen to somebody, somebody's going to make you stop someday. They'll force you. And anything. If you're speeding, somebody's going to stop you. So disobedience causes fears. So it comes through sin in people's life. Romans chapter 5:12 says, when Adam sinned, sin entered into the world and brought death. And death spread to everybody. And everybody's afraid of dying today. People are afraid of death. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 says, because the children are human beings, New Living, made flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of death or the devil. who had the power of death. Only this way could he have set free all who lived their lives slaves to the fear of dying. People fear of dying. They're afraid to die. When you die, you'll be in the presence of Jesus. Amen. If you're a Christian, you go in the presence of God. Full of pure joy. So, the Bible says that Jesus came in John 3:8 to destroy not only fear, but all of the devil's works. Yes. Jesus is the cure. So, don't let fear in your life. Don't allow yourself to be troubled. We have all these thoughts coming racing in people's minds. People say, no, I can't help it. I can't help being afraid. I can't help, what's in my mind. You can help it. You can help what comes to your mind. Now, if you have some medical condition that causes your mind to race, you can still get help. And you can be taught the Word of God. Train yourself to say no to fear. Whenever you have fear, just say, no, I will not fear. Stop in the name of Jesus. Stop in the name of love. No. Just say stop. No, I don't believe that. You have to tell yourself, no, I don't believe that. I'm not going to die. I will not die alone. I'm not going to. I'll always have money. God gives me money all the time. God will give me a job. I will not fear. I don't believe in that sickness. I believe in healing. I don't believe in dying early. I believe long life. With long life will I satisfy Him. I'm going to be satisfied with long life. And I'm not going to live long and just barely make it. No, I want to be healthy. Praise God. I'm going to be healthy all the way till I die. I'm going to die without sickness. You have to make up your mind. You can say, well, I wouldn't say that, Roma. You say what you want to say. David says, the Bible says, David died in the good old age, full of riches and honor. That's what it says. Good old age. Not an old, rotten, stinky old age. Barely walking around, not knowing where he is. No, I know where I am. Praise God. You know, 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God has not given a spirit of fear. He didn't give you fear. But a power, the word power is authority. You can take authority. Yeah. A sound mind is a mind that's sound, thinks right, full of peace. You say, man, I'm taking, this is my mind. The Bible says, casting down imaginations, 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, casting down imaginations, every thought, and bring it to obey God. Just take your thoughts and say, no, I will not think that. Psalm 26:3 says, God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You have to take your mind and focus on God. Hebrews 12 says that looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. We can do this. We can do this. We can do it. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. Well, I can't help being angry. Yes, you can. It's been in my mind for a long time. No, you can stop being angry. Like we use that analogy, somebody's always beating up on somebody bigger, smaller than them, and maybe their wife is 120 pounds, and he's 6'4", 200 pounds, slap that woman around, beat him up, and give him a good beating. And so I couldn't help it. I just get mad. And then you put him in a prison with all these six-footers with muscles everywhere coming out. And all of a sudden, he can control his anger. He doesn't slap anybody in there. But most of the guys in jail are skinny anyway. The ones where I went anyway. They're still around there. Some of them, if you go hard time, you might have a few muscles. Plus, you'll have a few other things too. How to deal with fear? Number one, know that your strength is from God. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, I will strengthen you, I will help you." Everybody say, "God will help me." Say, "He'll strengthen me." Number two, face your fears. You can't run away from your fears. That's why I'm going up to the CN Tower next time I go to Toronto. We went to, these are not high buildings. We went up to, my wife and I went up to Calgary, and I went up to, it wasn't that high. I'm going, it's like one third of what Toronto was, right? And I went to the one in Vancouver, that's not high either. Just went up to, start sweating. Imagine myself falling, something falling down. Start sweating. Face your fear. Using God's word. Mark 5:36, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid." Well, Jesus, don't you know my daughter is dying? Do not be afraid, pointing at his finger. Do not be afraid. Well, Jesus, you understand? Jesus tell this guy, his daughter's at the point of death. He says, "Like, don't worry about it. I'll handle this." You know, it's amazing. You got all kinds of problems. You almost die. Well, Jesus said, "Don't worry about it. Don't be afraid." You mean to say, I can't be afraid just in that critical hour? Yes, Jesus said, "Don't be afraid." Fear's not going to help. Fear never paid one bill. Fear never healed one person. It never brought your kids home. It didn't bring your husband back. It still won't. Fear never solved anybody's problems. Jesus said, "Do not fear." I got 16 points. Hang on. No, just a couple more. Number three, know the source of all your fears is from the devil. Because, you know, God says, 2 Timothy, we read that 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but He gives us a spirit of power, but a spirit of a sound mind. Everybody says, "I have a spirit of power, I have a spirit of love, and I have a sound mind." So you have to tell yourself, "Man, I can take hold of this. I got a sound mind." Yeah, they keep racing. You see, you keep playing that over and over and over, and then until it becomes part of your life, and then, you know, you have at least one or two fears left. Keep it in there just in case. Number four, know that God will protect you. Psalm 34, you can take almost any scripture. Psalm 34, 4 says that He's delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 91, you read Psalm 91, He's going to protect you from deadly illnesses, from the traps of the devil. I like that one scripture, Psalm 112. He says, the man who walks with God, the man who walks righteously with God, has nothing to fear. Not be afraid. Even if bad news comes, you're not going to be afraid of it. God already knows. Let's go ahead and stand up on our feet. A little redundant, isn't it? Praise God. Let's make a confession of our faith today. Hallelujah. Is there anything good God's done for you?
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank God that He's done it again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank You today. You are so good to us. Your word says You delivered us from all our fears. Every one of them. And Lord, we know that someone said many years ago, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. But we're not even afraid of fear. We're not even afraid of fear. I'm not afraid. I remember years ago, I'm sitting down there. I'm having issues. I'm dealing with my problems. I'm going to groups. I'm going to a counselor. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, what if I'm afraid of being afraid? And listen, we're not going to be afraid. Everybody close your eyes for one moment. I want to ask you a question. Is there somebody here today that, you know what, you've been struggling with fears? Be honest. Before God. Is there somebody with you struggle with fear? Let me see your hand right now, quickly. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Put them back down. You struggle with fears. And I want to let you know right now that when we preach to you, God says he's not giving you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind. I'm gonna pray for you in the name of Jesus. And break the power of the enemy that's sending those fears, and they'll not come back to you. If you're here as well, you need Jesus Christ in your life. You can say, Jesus, come in my life. I'm a sinner. Save me today. If you say that right now, he'll come in your life. If you got trouble with fears, I want you to get up here right now. John, come up here with the guitar. Thank you, Jesus. Ushers, get up here. If you have trouble, don't be afraid to come. I told you all my sins, so you what's wrong with you? I want to pray in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to break the power of fear. Fear is crippling, it's paralyzing. In Jesus' name, just lay him up all the way over here. I'm going to break the power of fear. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just get up here right now. We're going to pray one prayer together, all of us. The Bible says the chastisement of my peace was upon him. With his stripes, you are healed. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed. The first thing we need to do is acknowledge that there is fear in there. Acknowledge that there's fear. Father, I have these fears. I do have them. I don't know where they came from. I don't want them. I don't want them anymore. I'm tired of all these feelings and just, you know, fear of man, fear of people, fear of places, fear of stuff, fear of losing things, fear of gaining things, whatever. Lord, we're going to throw it onto you right now. We're going to take this fear, and I'm going to give it to you right now. And Lord, I repent from being afraid, because you said, do not be afraid. I'm going to repent from this thinking in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we stand our ground together. We're going to stand our ground together, and we're going to say, this is the last time I want to let fear take control of my life. I'm going to take control of my own life myself. I'm going to say, do what Jesus said. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. Fear not. Cast every care upon the Lord. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, we speak to all those devils that's causing havoc and fear in the minds and hearts of the people. And we cast them out right now. We command fear to go in the name of Jesus right now. Thank you, Lord. We break the power of the enemy. I want everybody to lift their hands and start praying in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus.